right, folks, welcome to the 42284 podcast. To my right here, I've got Jeremy. Straight across from me, I've got Kyle. I'm going to let Jeremy tell you a little history on Sunfish and about the name of the podcast we chose.
So, Sunfish is the only Catholic community in Edmondson County. You know, you go up into other counties, there's Catholic churches everywhere, and so we're the black sheep of the county, basically, over here sometimes. But a lot of good people in the area. Sunfish is also known as Funfish because, you know, as Catholics are, they like to drink a little bit. And some alcohol gets consumed on this side of the county, probably nowhere else in Edmondson County unless, you know, you look real deep. But we don't really know when Sunfish was founded. I had a history teacher tell me one time, or I don't even know if he was a history teacher. He was a substitute teacher by the time I was in school. Kyle, do you remember what?
I think he did teach maybe some history.
What was his first name?
Mr. Dale.
Dale Huffman.
Dale Huffman.
Yeah, he passed away a few years ago. But if you ever got Mr. Huffman talking, you could forget schoolwork. He would sit and tell you story after story after story. And back then, we really didn't appreciate it probably like we would have now. And, you know, back then it was more to get out of schoolwork, but
He was a wealth of knowledge,
yeah. And part of this podcast, too, is to get some of this stuff on record.
Try to preserve some history.
Yeah, try to interview some of the older people and even some younger people who, you know, who are pillars in this community and or have been in this community. They may not live here anymore. But anyhow, so Mr. Huffman told me one time that this was called the Durbin Precinct, was the original name of it. They do know it was named after the abundance of the little sun perch fish in the creek down here that goes through your property, Kyle. It's the first church they think was built in the 1840s, and it was a log structure, and it was somewhere in the vicinity of where Sunfish Creek and Bear Creek come together. And so once the more settlers moved into the area, they there was a frontier priest here named Elijah Durbin, and he was my fourth or fifth great-grandfather's brother, and you're sixth or seventh. That's where Brandon and I are kin, which just says that his line bred a lot faster than my line did. You know, there's more of them, I guess you'd say. But Father Elijah Durbin was a frontier priest. He would ride horseback all through the western part of the state.
Founded a lot of the western Catholic churches. Founded St. Jerome's, where my great-grandpa and grandma got married.
Yeah, yeah. And it's in Fancy Farm, Kentucky. If you're ever in Fancy
Farm.
Where
the picnic is.
Yeah, the political picnic. There is a plaque on the Kentucky roadside historical plaques on the side of the road down there that tells about Father Elijah. And there's actually a picture of him down here in the Catholic church hanging on the wall. And he was I see where I get my looks from, just to be honest with you. I mean, we were blessed with looks even back in those days. But he's buried up at, I can't think of the name of the cemetery up in Louisville. It's a Catholic cemetery up there. It's where a lot of the, you hear a lot about it on when you hear of senators and stuff like that being buried up there, you know, political figures. So anyhow, he was a frontier priest. He rode all over the western part of the state. He founded a lot of the churches. Back then, you know, you may only see a priest once every two or three years. And he was part of the frontier group that converted a lot of people brought them into the Catholic Church. So anyhow, his dad donated 10 acres of land down here to him and to the church to start this church. And so they built a church sometime late 1800s. And then in the 1930s, lightning struck it and burned it down. Guy Durbin told me one time that they were, Guy's brother was somehow dating one of maybe Sennett's sisters or aunts or somebody. And they were over here on Duval Cemetery Road, and a thunderstorm blew up, and they saw the lightning strike. And so they ran across the farms and the valley, or the hollers, on their horses, and by the time they got over there, there was nothing they could do. It was already up in flames. Wow. And so they built this new church, in the 30s. Dad put a roof on that church sometime in the mid-90s, and they found a silver quarter buried in the mortar on a chimney from 1936. And so that he, you know, and to think about it, in the 30s, for you to stick a quarter somewhere, I mean, that represented maybe a couple hours' wage back then.
Absolutely.
And so, but anyhow, so this same church down here since the 30s, there was a Catholic school. A lot of people, I think, Brandon, your dad, my dad, both went to school there. I think it closed in the early 70s, and the schools, you know, the kids went on to Sunfish, and then the schools consolidated. And we went to Kyrock or Brownsville. I think we all three were Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. I have the rare distinction of being a Blackhawk and a Bulldog because I graduated fifth grade at Brownsville.
And for the people not from around here, if you look in our design work, you'll see the church and the old schoolhouse.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, I mean, that's a brief rundown. A lot of us have grew up here, and you know, a lot of y'all are still raising families here. I started a few years raising a family here, and I'm back in Western Kentucky now, but it's a great place. There's a lot of good people here. The people work hard here. I told a priest one time, he was talking, they were talking, we were in a financial meeting. I said, the people of Sunfish may have a little money. They're going to hang on to it because they earned it hard, the hard way. Very few of them got it easily. So.
And we kind of decided on the name because that was the old Sunfish zip code back when there was a post office in the local store here, which was called the Sunfish Mall.
The Sunfish
Mall. Which your grandpa owned for several years.
Yep. He bought it from Lonzo Durbin in the late 60s or early 70s. And it actually fronted 187 out there.
And they moved the building.
And they moved the building. Because back when that store was built, you know, 187 was a dirt road and there was horses and buggies. And so it sit right on the road. And so they wanted to move it back away. And the gas pumps were over there in front of it, was really the reason where it ended up at.
That's what I was going to ask. Is that because where the pumps went out?
Mm-hmm. They had put new gas pumps in and put them back there. Because back in those days, I mean, the EPA, nobody give a crap about that. And tanks went bad. They just left them in the ground and put new ones in. And so instead of digging the ones up, they were there by the store. They just moved it back. And so they moved the store back there to get it off the road. And they put a foundation under it. It had sit on the ground. And he ran it until 90. I think it closed in July of 95. And the post office left. And but 42284 was the zip code. I've got a letter that my great-grandmother wrote in I think the 20s or 30s, that's got the 42284 postage stamp on it, where they, you know, they stamp sealed envelope or the stamp, that, postmark.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's interesting, but I tell you a funny one. Back in about 2000, they were digging out there by the intersection of the 238 and 187 and dug into that old tank. It's still there. And the state decided they were just going to cover that back up, not worry about it, and move on down the road. So that's how things are looked at around here. So,
and John A's wife, Martha, was postmaster.
Yeah, at Bee Spring.
What, when she postmaster here, though?
Oh, yeah. She was postmaster here. I forgot about that.
For a good while.
Yeah, and then she ended up moving to Bee Spring to be postmaster.
Was that after this one closed?
No.
She was, okay, it was before?
She moved to Bee. I don't know why. You know, this is one of those things we should have done this years ago to ask people these questions. But for some reason, she moved to Bee Spring. And that's when it was, Bee Spring was there in front of the restaurant in Toby Vincent's yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was it was smaller than the she shed.
Mm-hmm.
And then John A took over postmaster here at Sunfish. But I don't have any idea why that happened. I mean, we may ask somebody, but I don't know.
So. Well, since you mentioned it, we're recording in the she shed. We've took over the wife's she shed to be the makeshift studio, I guess you'd say, for right now.
So. I have never been so proud to be in a room with ribbons and fake flowers and all this cool stuff. And I mean, it's shabby chic. You know, it's very, I mean, it's, you've brought the best out in it over here.
So another thing I thought of that I probably should have looked up, that one of y'all may know, what was the old Huff zip code?
42250.
Okay.
I lived in Huff.
Me and you both
did. I'm a move-in to Sunfish. I didn't move up here. We didn't move up here until about 88 or 89. I don't know exactly when
it was. The greater Huff area.
We lived in the suburbs.
I think we, you know, for the people who are going to listen to this, you know, that are out of the country, because I mean, this could be worldwide, right? I mean, we're going big
worldwide.
Yeah. So Sunfish is located north of Huff and south of South.
South of South, exactly right.
Yeah. I think Kyle's dad kind of was the one that came up.
He kind of coined that phrase. Yeah, yeah.
I've heard people. Brandon, yeah. I think was the.
Yeah, back in the days before you had Google Maps and GPS, Dad ran a trucking company here, and so you had parts guys or salesmen or whatever they was looking for you all the time, uh-huh. And so they'd be like, "Just where exactly is Sunfish?" And he'd say, "We're just south of South."
Yeah.
Then there would be a long pause. And then there would be, can you get a little more specific than that? Yeah. Then you'd really give him some directions. Oh, yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, he kind of coined that phrase. We were just south of South.
So your dad owning the trucking company, and then my dad, of course, being a mechanic and working on a lot of them, we grew up around a lot of characters, to say the least, that drove trucks for Gary over the years. I'm sure we've got some stories we can add about some of them.
Yeah, and then sitting, you know, I grew up in the store down here. You know, I got off the bus there and spent a lot of time the summer there, and the drivers would come up, and, you know, the Gene Autrys and the, you know, the Lawrences of the bunch, they'd come up, and I'd get a dose of them up there. And so
they were a very unique cast of characters, but
it was.
Great people, guys, what you said, hardworking guys, you know, just some of the very best.
Yeah,
when you're a kid, you know, when people treat you good as a kid, you don't ever forget it. I don't care what they grow up to be.
I think one of them that would come in and play video games with you, your mom had to call down a few times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was of course, when you're young like that, at the time you think, man, these guys are old. But looking back, they probably was in their 30s or something like that.
I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, Scott Avery.
Yes.
And we were together when 9/11 happened. We were driving down the road. We were on the Collegiate Stretch,
yes,
or Chalybeat, uh-huh. If you see the sign, that's mm-hmm. how it looks, when the first plane hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were down on 31W when the second plane hit. And I remember looking at him saying, you know, that I don't know what's going on. This is not an accident.
You knew it was something.
Something's up.
Right, yeah.
And so, you know, we were working together in Franklin, and by the time we got down there, you know, it was all, everything had happened. And we were glued to the TV for days. I mean, but anyhow, you know, we were talking about getting older and the gray in our beards and stuff like that. And I said, you realize when that happened, your mom and dad were younger than what we are now.
Right.
I mean, it's time just gets away from you. Everybody's busy and, you know, we're all raising kids now and stuff like that. And looking back, those people we thought were old at the time, maybe not weren't so old.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so, you know, I think John A. was about late 60s, maybe 70 when he passed away. Well, that's not that old, you get thinking.
No, at the time you thought.
Yeah, at the time he's had ancient. A good life. Yeah. He's had a good life. And now you're looking at it, you're like, that's going to be here for an hour.
Ain't too far away.
Mm-hmm. That's the truth. So give us your best Long Acre driver story.
Oh, man, there's so many. I don't know that I've got a good long story. I've got tidbits. Man, I made them earn it back in the day. Of course, we moved up here. I'm about 8 or 9 years old or something like that. And my dad passed away when I was 15. So about six, seven years there of those trucks being literally 25 yards from the house. And so
shaking your bed when they come in, right? It's right there.
Any dead animal that was found on Long Acre Farms ended up in somebody's truck.
Yeah.
I put several frogs, several possums, a skunk or two. Of course, you know, greasing door handles, greasing CB mics. That was just kind of a thing, you know.
Yeah.
One that I do remember that maybe was a little over the top now that I look back, the shop that we had, it was just tremendously big. And you couldn't heat it for anything. We had one of those stoves that had the two barrels, you know, the mm-hmm. one that's got the fire on the bottom and then the heat on the top, and had some oil running into it to make it that much hotter. And I had found a nickel. And so I put it on the stove. I think, man, this is really funny to let this nickel get hot. I'll do something with it later. And the same guy that you was talking about that played video games with me, his handle was Porky, which I think that's kind of funny. We've all got nicknames around here. I don't know if we want to talk about that later or not, but very rarely do you call anybody by their name.
Yeah.
You was introduced as Jeremy and you're Brandon, but you're Bub and Donkey to me.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, uh-huh. I'm Kyle, but I'm probably Skeet or something like that uh-huh. to you guys. But anyway, Porky, he was standing there, and Porky always had his uniform shirt unbuttoned about two buttons, wore jogging pants continuously, winter or summer. And so
because that was the only thing that fit.
They were loose fitting, I think.
Comfort.
Yeah, they were for comfort, I believe. Yeah. And so I think, well, I'm going to flip this nickel. He'll catch it, and this will be really funny.
And it's hot.
And it's hot. So I've got on a pair of leather gloves, you know. I'm prepared. And I grab this nickel, and I flip it. And about that time, I say, Porky, and it hits him right below the neck and sticks. And I'm like, oh, no. I know this is bad. So my patented move was run to mom.
Yeah.
You know, run to the house. And he was a swatting and thumping and got that thing off of there. And so I don't see him for a couple of days, but he was branded with Jefferson's head.
Is he still alive?
Well, I don't know. Brandon tried to reach out to him on Facebook sometime ago and never got a response. Back,
so I don't know.
But what Brandon was talking about earlier, another funny one. So he would come over and play. I had a Super Nintendo, which at the time was.
That was
state of the art. That was cutting edge. I had Street Fighter 2 Turbo, and we would have a tournament, and that tournament would be you used every guy, and whoever beat all the guys wins. And like I said, Porky at the time is probably 30, and I'm 13 or something like that. We're back there playing, and I've got a Turbo controller, and I've got all the latest and greatest, and he's just got the standard equipment, you know. I'd be wearing him out. He'd get to cussing and ranting. Mom would come back here, throw that door open. You keep that language down, or you're out of here. You know, a 30-year-old man, yeah. 13-year-old.
Sorry, Max.
That's exactly
I'm sorry, Max.
Hey, she had to bluff on those guys.
She had to bluff on us all.
My mom was superwoman back in the day. Dad was sick a lot with his health.
She probably wrote the check.
I mean, she made it happen a lot of times when he was in the hospital and whatnot, this and that. But it was really fun growing up around these guys.
Yeah.
And you talked about Gene Autry. His name's Gene Haynes.
Yeah. He passed away too.
He did pass away. All those guys that I know of, but maybe one or two, have since passed away. J.C. Miller, great guy.
I never could figure out with J.C., you know, we all called him DJ.
Yes.
And my dad would call him J.C.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would, you know, my dad had a propane company. We would take DJ, mm-hmm. in my world, uh-huh. up to, you know, taking propane up on the hill.
Uh-huh.
And dad would call him J.C. So, I mean, for years, I thought that they were twins.
Yes.
And so... It was a place to grow up.
Well, to my understanding, so J.C. was his real name. When they were young, him and his brothers would play church. Now, this is what I was told. I don't know how true it is, so I'm not telling you it's true. I'm telling you it's true that I was told.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother was the preacher, and he was the deacon. And so he was Deacon Joy was his real name.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Joy C. Miller. And so he was Deacon Joy, DJ.
Huh.
So, you know, whether it's true or not, I don't know.
I always thought it's funny. They lived up on that hill, uh-huh. Sawmill Hill,
uh-huh.
and they, you know, it was the houses weren't big, nice, fancy houses like today, and there are several old trailers up there and stuff, but his boy and his nephew finished top one and two of their high school class.
Absolutely.
And they were incredibly intelligent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his other son, Wes, mm-hmm. which I guess Wes is still living
yeah.
up there.
Oh, I don't know, up out of Burbard.
Wes is the only person I know go buy a brand new vehicle and have a fender primer down before the end of the week. I mean, that's just the truth of it. I got a good Wes story for you, too. I'll tell you in a minute. So. But anyhow, he was an artist. He is a very talented
artist.
He is. People don't realize he's probably one of the – he can draw whatever you want, wherever you want, and he is good.
There was a gentleman who delivers mail. Did you know about the mail buggy that caught on fire up there right by Wes's? I don't particularly know what happened.
Well, the garbage truck caught on fire, too.
Well, it's, you know, shorted out or whatever. It starts smoking. He pulls it over. Wes comes out. And by the time they're out there, it's just too far gone. And the guy who drove the mail buggy was telling me about it. He said, I'm just here to tell you, if you ever have a vehicle burn, you want it to be with Wes Miller because he knows exactly what's going to happen. He said, just be careful. He said, it's going to blow. One of them tires going to blow. He said, just a minute. Boom. One of the tires blow. He said, it'll be another one. Yeah. He said, he just walked me through it step by step.
Well, I'm going to tell my Wes story while you're at it. I mean, it was funny. So I worked for the local electric company for 15 years. And the pole at JC's old house, which is at the end of that road, was broke. And it was broke and still standing. We saw it one night. We were going to go up the next day and change it. And it was the time of the year where it was, you know, cool of the morning, and it'd warm up about like today. It'd warm up decent, you know, 60 degrees during the day. And what happens is that wire, it'll get cold at night and it'll retract. So it'll get tighter, and if it's got a belly in it, it'll pull up. Then when it gets warm, it'll sag down. So we had a big deuce and a half, like army truck, with a digger unit on the back of it. And it had big float tires on it. And I'm going down that little blacktop road, and I get to Wes's. And, of course, Wes operates almost a salvage yard.
Right.
And there's cars everywhere. And so I slow down. I ease through all those cars. And I go on down the end of the road. We work down there till about lunch. Somebody said, "You got your lunch?" I said, "No." They said, "Go get your lunch, and we'll meet you somewhere and we'll eat." I take off in that truck. I mean, I'm rolling coal, as the kids say today. And I get to where those cars are, and he had moved the car that I was really trying to watch. Well, I never even slowed down. And out of the corner of my eye, I see something move, and it is a pole across the road from his house. And it is falling. And I thought, what's that pole falling for? And then I realized that the wire going from that pole to the pole at his house is hung on top of my truck, and I'm running about 50. And so, I mean, I stomp the brakes. And I hear a commotion, and when I get out, I have broke three poles on one side of the road and broke Wes's meter pole, and it has drug it through all his old cars. There's a Ford Ranger turned up on its side and a 1970 model Dodge that he's been aiming to restore, and he was mad.
I imagine.
He cooled down, but yes. I mean, I just getting out and seeing that cut Ranger turned up on its side, all those poles broke. I laughed. I'll see him out today, and he'll say, "I can't believe you done that." Well, I can't believe I did either, Wes. But.
So there's two lawnmower stories that in this episode I've already promised.
Well, before you move on, do you want to tell about Gene Autry and the little Mustang down at the old shop? I'm sure you've heard your dad tell that several times. I don't know that I could do it justice, but I can tell a part two of that I was involved in.
So... The one about the calf.
The calf, yeah.
So Autry had been apparently running till dark every night for I don't know how long.
And
but
it's
they
winter
knew
time.
It was they knew it was gonna be dark when Autry got in, and he had one of the little small I don't know what year They're the ugly Mustangs.
Mustang twos.
Twos, yeah.
Yeah, the little twos. Mini cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
one
so,
step up from a Maverick.
Yes, yes. And so they decide your grandpa Kurt has had a calf die. And they decide that they'll take that calf, and it'll be funny, they'll put it in Gene Autry's car. So they put the calf, and I don't know who all was in on it. I know Dad and Gary, and I don't know who all else. They put the calf in the car and get its legs worked down in the floorboard, and they tie its front hooves to the steering wheel.
So they called it before stiff or after stiff?
I think it was still
pretty
a little stiff.
They
having a pry.
Thought, yeah.
They took grass string and tied its front hooves to the steering wheel, and it's sitting up in there. And I think they even put a Long Acres cap on it, and it's sitting in there. And so Autry comes in the big truck, drives by it, and never sees it in his car. Parks the truck.
So for the people listening in other countries, Long Acres Farms was the name of your dad's
that was
truck.
Yeah, that was truck. Yeah, I don't guess we touched on that. Yeah. You'll see the building in our artwork too if you look for the people that's not from around here. But
out of the country.
They knew from I guess Autry's vehicles that the interior light did not work in Autry's car. So he drives around, parks the big truck, comes in and talks to him, and there's a bunch there waiting on him to get in. As long as there's a bunch there, Autry's not gonna leave. So Dad said it took forever, and finally Autry says, "Well, I better go home," and so he goes out there. And he tries to get just fall in the car basically, and there's something in there.
There's
so he jumps back out. It scares him. He gets his lighter out and he flick. Huh? A calf.
Yeah.
So fast forward 20 years, I've heard this story my whole growing up life, and I think how funny that would be to do something like that to somebody. Yeah. I'm coming down 1075 in the Green Bean. That's my truck that I drove when I was young, 96 Ford F-150 under green.
And you still have.
Still right? have.
Yeah.
And a deer jumps out in front of me, and I hit the deer right in the head. Doe, not very big. Don't even much more than make a dent on the truck, and kills her just graveyard dead. I mean, just immediately. And I think, man, what am I going to do? I need to get out of the road at least. And so I back up and I pull the deer out of the road. And as I'm pulling out of the road, my cogs get to turn. And I think, hey, this will work good because Autry is driving for my cousin now at the time who bought the trucks off my mom after my dad passed away. I think we can recreate this. This is like those pictures they take, you know, that's 20 years later of the family pictures.
What is it about us wanting to redo, you know, replay the pranks that we've heard about our parents play? Similar to the out here on this road.
Yeah, yeah.
That's our legacy. That's what we've got to live up to. You know, other people have doctors in their family and they become doctors and we just pull pranks, I think. This is what we do. So I was a buddy of mine, Josh Kintzer, was mechanicing down there at the time. That's where I was going to meet him. I throw the deer in the back of the truck, roll in there. I'm like, hey, what do you think about this? He's like, oh, that's perfect.
Oh, yeah,
that's
great
perfect.
Idea.
That's perfect. Yeah,
good. Let's do
so
it.
But instead of putting it in Autry's personal vehicle, because it's not there, obviously, we put it in the big truck he's driving. So we set it up in there, tie the hoofs to the steering wheel, put a Brad White trucking hat on her head, on that doe's head. Got her, I mean, she's up there cruising.
It is recreated. And a Peterbilt.
Yep. And I go home and don't think any more about it. Well, what I didn't think about was that calf was frozen, dead. This deer was alive
it's
3
warm.
Minutes ago. Warm.
Yeah.
It bleeds out in the truck. Autry shows up that next morning to get the truck. He thinks it's like a mafia symbol from one of his family that he's been into it with. Brad's sister calls me. It's 5 o'clock in the morning and I answer the phone.
And she's mad?
She is. Well, she's trying to find out first to make sure that it's not. She's like, you better tell me the truth. And I mean right now, did you put a deer in Autry's truck? I said, well, she said, this is serious. I said, yeah, I did. Well, that thing was just an awful mess. He had to take the day off work. He was so upset. So needless to say, that was the last time that we put animals.
And he was up my age at that point, right?
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was. Man, he was a good guy though. He worked on the farm when he wasn't trucking, and
that's my memories of him. Him trucking. You know, I never was around the your old shop a whole lot. I'd stop in there and put my life in your hands with the Bigfoot. Remember
right,
the
fire
wheels,
I do.
Fire wheels Bigfoot. Yeah. I never remember it working. We'd just push
pull
it to the top of the hill and roll it down.
Yeah, I think you shoved me off that hill behind that shop one time on that thing. I'd like,
we'd roll it out of that side door.
Yeah.
When I remember.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was down that bank.
Yeah.
When Dad got that cab tractor, which we'd never... I think he had a cab tractor years ago when they weren't great, but he got that new cab tractor in 95, I think it was. It might have been 96, but it was right in there. And Autry was baling hay, and me and Bub, we was there at the building, and Dad looks out there, and he's like, I'm going to go check on Autry. So we all just, didn't you go
the
with
deer,
us?
The deer guy was still there, I think, wasn't he?
Did you go with
him? Yeah.
I think we all just rode out there.
We all went.
And all the windows are fogged up on the...
It's getting late afternoon.
On the tractor. I mean, you can't even hardly see out of it, and Autry's reaching up and doing
this.
He got
her cranked
down, yeah,
huh?
Yeah. So Dad goes up and opens the door, and his byword, he wouldn't say G-O-D, you know, he would say G-O-T, got down. He said, how do you turn this goddamn air down?
Yeah, if I wasn't the deer guy still there?
He may have
and
been.
And I think
I know
came
was,
up there and opened the door and I asked him that.
Yeah.
He didn't know how to turn it down.
He was
set on whatever it said
on. He was freezing to death in there.
Well, Leonard Duval called me one time. He bought those Kubota tractors with the cabs.
Yes.
And Spike had got in there messing around with the controls on it. You know, all air conditioners just have a button. You push, turn the air off. He wanted me to come up there and charge air up on it. I said, Leonard, that tractor's pretty new. Yeah, but the air quit working on it. I got out there and he got to fooling around. I looked and Spike had hit that button. I turned it, hit that, whoom, you know, the air come
here
on.
Come back.
He said, how much owe you? I said, $500. He said, really? That's not, I'm just messing with you.
Did he say, oh, hello?
Yeah.
That was Leonard's byword. Oh, hello.
Yeah.
So we think we ought to tell that story.
We might later.
Okay.
In later episodes. Give them something to look forward to. Yeah. Kyle needs to tell these mower stories. I promised them to people.
Well, I thought you just wanted me to be on to back you guys up.
Well, we've got to prove to some of the people who don't know you just how tight you are.
Well, now, keep in mind, too, this is year one of being married.
Okay.
you know, things pretty slim.
The snapper wasn't year one, though. That was on a...
True. Well, we had the push mower for 2 years.
Okay. It lasted two years. So you got to tell the push mower story.
Okay, so Heather's my wife.
Who is not from Sunville.
She's from Cleveland, that you were talking about earlier.
And let's back up and say that Kyle had always, as a bachelor, hired his yard mowed, but Heather wanted to start mowing the yard when they got married.
Save money.
That's right. That's exactly right.
All three of us have married... Well, I mean, we all married girls outside of Sunfish, sure. Right? Because there's not really... I mean, we're kin to everybody.
Right, here. Right.
And so that's the reason why, right? So yeah. She is from the other side of the river, yes. As we like to yep. say.
And I brought her all the way over here, which I might as well have taken her to a different country
foreign country.
technically, we have all married women from that side of the river. Because where I live at now is the other side of the river, and Austin's from the other side of the river, so we have all married women from other sides.
That's funny. Our county's split in two by Green River, and depending on which side of the river you live on, is this side of the river and the other side of the river. Mm-hmm. So this is this side of the river, and south of Green River is the other side of the river.
We are on the good side of Bear Creek, anyway. The
good side of Bear Creek.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, as Donkey said, I married Heather. She's from Clebit. I hired my yard mowed up to that point. Heather wants to mow, and I don't own a mower. I don't have a mower. So there was a gentleman that lived down the road on the schoolhouse road, Charlie Duval. He's since passed away. He was fixing up some old mowers and redoing them, refurbishing them.
Tillers, small engine work.
Yep. Uh-huh. So he's got a little garage there beside his double wide. Me and a friend of mine, we go down there, I peck on the door, and first thing right off the bat, Charlie comes to the door with nothing on but his whitey tighties. I said, Charlie, I want to do some business with you. Oh, okay, let me get some clothes on. So we go around the side, and he comes out the back and takes us in the little shop there. He said, what are you looking for? I said, I'm looking for a lawnmower. He said, well, I don't have anything but three push mowers. I said, well, that'd probably be all right. So we go out there and look, and they're lined up in the middle of the garage floor.
Yeah, because God forbid you buy her a rider to mow 2 acres with. I mean.
Well, now she teaches. She's off during the summer, so yeah. If it took a little extra time.
She's probably wanting exercise, too. Right?
I'm sure she did. Yeah. I don't know.
They didn't have any kids at the
time. No kids at the time, right. So he says, this right here is my best mower. He said, you prime it 3 times, said it'll start and run just purr like a kitten. So he reaches down and hits that primer bulb 3 times. And guys, I'm telling you what, he cranked on it 5 minutes. Well, he steps back and he puts his hand on his chin like this, and he says, maybe that's my best one. Yeah. And points to the one right beside of it. Yeah. Not to lose a sale, you know.
Yeah, he was confused. So, he's mistaken.
Said, maybe that's my best one. So he goes down, hits the primer on it, fires that dude up, and it does. First crank, it fires up. Now, I want you to kind of get a visual of this. So he's standing here. I'm standing like where I'm sitting. Joe is standing like maybe where Bub is, and this mower is in the middle of the floor running with nobody touching it. And I'm thinking, when we lived at this house, the Bayfordstone house, we push mowed, but it had a keel handle on it. I said, Charlie, every time I had a push mower, it had a keel handle. When you let go of it, it would die. Yeah, he said, well, these don't have that.
Yeah,
and I said, well, I can
see. Different model.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I said, how you shut it off? And he said, well, you can run it into some tall grass. I said, well, okay.
Or
he said, but here's what I usually do. And he jerks a screwdriver out of his pocket and knocks a spark plug wire off of it. Kills it deader than a hammer. I said, well, now, Charlie, I said, this is for my wife. I said, I can't be having her take a screwdriver. She'll never understand that. Yeah. So once again, he puts his hand on his chin like this. He thinks. He said, I know what we can do. He goes over to his toolbox. He gets one of them extra long zip ties, about like that. Zip ties around the plug wire.
Puts
it on there. Yep. He said, tell her just pull that when she gets ready to pull it off. I said, what do you want for it? He said, I'll take $10. I said, I'll take it. So I bring it home and she mows with it for 2 years.
That's funny.
So then he decides he'll upgrade her to a rider.
Yeah.
Bought her a snapper.
Rear engine snapper. Uh-huh. Forrest Gump mower. Forrest Gump Dale Augustin mower. Dale Augustin had one for years.
I own one now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mowed good. It was a 28-inch cut.
Mine is,
but
too.
Compared to, you know, a push mower, it was...
Yeah, she gained, like, what, 4 or 6 inches?
Oh, guaranteed. Yeah. And speed, too.
Oh, yeah.
But the catch to the snapper was...
It didn't have a battery. You had to pull start it. And
she didn't know... Well, that it just needed a battery.
Well,
right?
Heather has always had trouble. She's never been around. Like, we've all tinkered with things from the time we were little. We all had tillers and lawn mowers and four wheelers and this and that. So the concept
most of the time we're junk and we were forced to tinker on.
Well, that's right. But the concept of a choke is foreign to Heather.
Yeah.
So to choke it, pull start it. It pull started easy. I'm gonna take up for myself on this.
For you,
I'm not gonna be the villain.
It pull started easy for Kyle. Heather's out there putting every ounce she can in to get it pull started.
She didn't know to choke, and then once it run, flip it down to run. So she had trouble with that. Which a lot of times, if I was home, I would start it, and then she would mow. But this particular day, and I'm gonna let Bub tell this because I wasn't there.
No, you was there.
When it happened.
I wasn't there. I just
your dad was there. No, dad was there. No, she jumped me when I come in. I wasn't even there.
Oh, I thought you was there.
No, I wasn't there.
Okay.
No.
So dad's there.
Comes by and sees her to my remembrance.
Caesar, but he tells the battery deal in front of her, right?
Yeah, she's cranking and cranking and cranking trying to start. And so Jimmy's great neighbor, Gabby we call him, he's driving by and sees her trying to start this mower and it won't start, and so he's going to pull in and help her, which she knows Gabby, and he pulls in there and he's going to start it, but he tells her,
why don't he buy you a battery for
why
this
don't you
and
tell
she
that,
says
and
a battery
and how much were batteries at this
probably
time?
$15.
I don't know. Yeah, they're high they now were but at the time
well that was high then
he could probably got a blimp for 10.
Yeah.
He said, why don't you have that tied in and husband of yours put a battery in this where you can start off the key? And she says, a battery?
She didn't know what had electric start on it.
So guess what Big K had to do when he comes? Buy her a battery.
That's
fun. Buy her a battery and put in there.
So guy at work, I was looking for a mower for the down to lake. Guy at work says, I've got one of them old snapper mowers. He said, I bought it from the little lady. He said, it's ain't got a scratch on it. I said, what do you want for it? He said, $300. He said, it's got a grass catcher and all with it. I said, bring it in. Or I said, send me some pictures of it. He sent me some pictures. I said, bring it in, I'll buy it. And so he brings it in. We go look at it. Are they coming for us there?
I don't know. I hear some sirens there.
That's unusual. In Sunfish, if you hear sirens, you look.
It's not unusual right now because the bridge is closed on 70, so every run has to come
through. Come through this way. Yeah,
true. So anyhow, he brings this mower in, and I mean, it is like new. I mean, best looking snapper I've saw. And he says, now it doesn't have electric start. I said, are you sure? He said, I'm positive. I said, so I told him your story.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it was great. So anyhow, it doesn't have electric start. So we get it and we take it down to the lake. And I mow with it. Mow's great. Now, even though we don't have a big lot down at the lake, after using a zero turn with 6 foot cut, going back to that is very daunting. I mean, it's
3-1.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you have to have several beers to mow this yard.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, to start it, you have to push the brake pedal down and lock it over. It's got a lock in the column, then you get off and start.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife decides she's going to mow. And I hear her out there pulling and pulling and pulling. I'm like, what in the world is she doing? I go out there. I said, you don't know how – I know how to start a lawnmower. I said, obviously you don't, or you'd push that brake pedal down and slide this lock over. You know, she's never used anything but the zero turn. Well, for years, anyhow.
Right.
Like I said, perfect mower. I put my 17-year-old son on it. And he said, well, what do I need? I don't want to tear it. I said, you can't tear this thing. Let's just mow with it.
Oh, he's your son. You shouldn't have told him that.
He didn't make one round around the yard, and I hear, what the hell was that? I jump up and run out there, and he had found a root in the yard. It's like a football sticking up out of the ground that I had been weed eating around. And
he's going to mow over it.
Oh, he's going to cut it off for me. He's going to cut it off for me.
I got this, Dad.
He bent. Where the spindle goes through the deck, he bent the deck. I throw it away.
Yeah, it's
I got a new deck, another deck to put on it. But those are great mowers. So, but
you might get a snapper sponsorship out of this.
Hey,
we've had an offer already for a sponsorship.
Well, I run into a guy today at the feed mill and said he was asking if the podcast was going hot today or live or something like that. I said yeah. He said I'm thinking about sponsoring. So
I had a guy ask me about it and I said, well, let's see how it goes.
Well, we've got us two, we've got to sponsor our wives first thing before so we'll have to see how it goes.
Right.
So, but even though Kyle's a fine, upstanding citizen, elected official now, there's been a few times in his life he's had some run-ins with the law just because
that's what you do when you're younger and driving, and drive with a headlight out, and you know, things of that nature. So there's a few stories I wanted him to hit on. One being the BGPD and their lights shorting out.
Okay, so that's a good one.
I don't know that I've heard this several
years
you
ago.
You had my attention.
I was just a rider on this one, so I was with a couple of friends, and we were coming out of Bowling Green. It was late. It was late one night, and we were coming what I call the old way down the bypass, and then we're going to cut over to 185, and that's how we come in from Bowling Green. We're coming through there, and my friend David, he says, I think that car behind us is flashing their lights at us. And I look up in the rearview mirror wearing my cousin's dually, that Dodge dually that Brad had, that diesel truck. I said, oh, it's just where we're sitting up high. I said, it's hitting bumps. And we go a little further. We're running 30 miles an hour, 35 miles an hour, something like that.
Y'all are still in town?
We're still in town. Okay. Yeah, we're just coming out, you know, kind of like there where the old Lucky Strikes building is. Fleet Pride's at. So we come up through there, and he said, I'm going to pull over. I think they're trying to get our attention. So we pull over, and it pulls over behind us, and I look back, and it's Bowling Green Police. And about the time that it pulls over, there are two more that come in, just like we're in a high-speed pursuit.
Y'all have messed up.
We have messed up.
Yeah.
And the guy gets on the loudspeaker and says, show us your hands. And he looks at me, eyes big as half dollars, says, what'd I do? I said, show him your hands.
Yeah.
So he puts his hands out the window. He says, open the door. So he opens the door and gets out and walked backwards, you know, to the back of the vehicle. Well, the officer comes up, and about that time, there was one that come up on the passenger side where I'm at and says, tells me to exit the vehicle. And I mean, when I come out, this officer is giving David down the road. I mean, giving him the what for. And David's like, why do you think we're running? We're going 30 miles an hour. And he says, don't you see those? And when he turns around and points, his light bar's not working. And we stand there, and he is just dumbfounded. And then it flashes, and then goes right back off. And I'm telling you what, if that guy could have crawled under the sewer grate, he would have. He apologized to us 19 ways.
So he had them on the whole time, yes, and they hadn't been working.
Yes, and they were not working, just his headlights.
And y'all just been driving.
And we just driving 30 mile an hour through Bowling Green. And no telling, you know, we got a pursuit of this
hot
or that.
Hot pursuit 30 mile an hour.
But he apologized to us every which way but loose. And we get back in the vehicle, and he's on home.
Oh, man.
Oh, and then there's another good one. State trooper pulls you over for one headlight. Chad with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Chad.
So, Chad.
Jaggers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw him the other night. Yeah. Been a long time.
So we had went to Morgantown to pick up a load of tires. There was a fella that was wholesaling some tires down there to me at the time. We were doing that back and forth, and I'd taken the green bean down there to pick them up. And we load them up. And are coming back down 70. And it's like, well, I mean, I'd close the station at 10 o'clock. I was working at the station then. I worked at the gas station at that time, auto repair shop. And we were coming up 70. And probably going, you know, too fast. Probably going 60 mile an hour, whatever it was. One headlight, had a headlight out. Mo Green Bean had a headlight out for years. Yeah, that's kind of how you knew me. That was my bat signal. And so we're coming up through there, and state trooper sitting there at the corner market, pulls out behind us, throws the blue lights on. We pull in at the Sunfish Roundhill Road. He comes up to the car, and he's not happy. He thinks we've stolen these tires. And he's really giving me the third degree about these tires. I'm like, no, I buy them down here, and we swap out, and I've got a ticket. And so while he's going over that, I guess his partner had come up on the passenger side.
Y'all had no idea there was another one.
Just thought it was him, and he pecks on the window with the backside of his
flashlight.
Yeah, his backlight, and Chad screams like a screams like a woman. And as soon as he screams, he reaches and grabs that door handle to open it because he thinks, I guess, something's the matter. Yeah. And we had both been dipping all night long. We had a cup. I mean, it was 2/3 the way full of Ambeer. And when he opens that door, he knocks that Abier out on that trooper's shiny shoes. Oh, it just covers them up. And he turns around and looks at me just like this and says, "We're going to jail for that one." And I said, "Oh, I hope not." And fortunately, the trooper had a little humor about him. And he's over the ditch cleaning his shoe off, you know. And he tells us, you know, just slow it down and go on our way. So two close calls there and nothing to come of it.
When Lindsay, my wife, lost her driver's license for speeding, and it took the flock of troopers to run us down on the interstate, one slipped up beside us. You know, this one's at her window ripping her over speeding.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got the uncontrollable giggles over it because I can't stop. I mean, I've been telling her, "You're going to jail," you know? And I mean, he is tearing her up on the side of this.
Were y'all in the vet?
Yeah. Yeah. We were we'd been in this vet. She'd been running 100 down the interstate in North Carolina and not trying to pass somebody. Probably for 45 minutes, we'd been running 100 in a 55.
Mm-hmm.
And so this trooper is ripping her hiney in, and I'm sitting there, and I've got the uncontrollable giggles because I'm innocent in all this, right? I've not done anything.
But normally it would be him in the driver's seat.
I was going to say, he's just laughing because he thinks, if I was aware, it'd be 110.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, the funny part was they, you know, we saw this trooper. And I'm like, "Hey, did you see that trooper?" "Yeah, but I slowed down. He didn't see me." "Well, he didn't, but the other two did.
The radio."
The radio's faster than we
the
were.
Radio's
we
fast.
May have been doing 100, but it was doing a lot faster than that.
Right.
So anyhow, so that trooper slips up, and he pecks on the window of that Corvette. And I'm, you know, uncontrollable giggles, and he, like you said, that flashlight, clunk, clunk. And I did about like Chad. I squalled out, scared me to death. I think they both may have grabbed at their gun. But yeah, they were serious. You know, she lost her license for a year over that. And I really think that's the only reason she married me. Because, you know,
she needed a chauffeur.
Well, that, and she needed the name change. So
an alias. She was looking
for
an alias.
Yeah, it was an alias, yeah. And then the bad part, she got another ticket back home before that one didn't come in the mail.
Well, didn't y'all get a letter from the HOA about racing in the subdivision when you lived in the subdivision?
She got to ripping through the subdivision. I don't know if we got a letter about that, but we did get a letter about the, I had a tractor.
With no hood, driving it around in the subdivision.
I'd clutched a tractor.
In their garage. In the
neighborhood, which the old man across the street thought was great. He was older and he would check me out. But it was, so the start of the tractor story is I had bought this tractor from a guy down here in Sunfish, and Lindsay and I, we hadn't been married that long, and I mean this subdivision, it was one of the nicer ones. Mm-hmm. It's you don't work on vehicles in the garages in this subdivision. And so we're going down there to get the tractor, and she said, what barn are you going to put this in?" I said, it needs a clutch in, or no, the motor was stuck. I said, the motor stuck in, I need to work on it, you know, I need to do something with it." She said, "Well, what barn are you going to put it in?" I said, "Well, I'm going to put it in the garage." She said, "What garage?" I said, "The garage at home, our garage." She's like, "No." She's way more worried about the neighbors than I was. I didn't care, you know. And I said, "No, it's going back to there." And so she's like, "You can't take this up there and put it. Yeah, we're going to put it in the garage. We'll do it at dark. Nobody will know." And so I get it in the garage, get the motor unstuck, do everything I'm going to do to it. I don't put all the sheet metal back on. I'm like, "Well, I need to drive this thing, right?
Got to test it."
Yeah, you got to test it. So this subdivision had a big, you know, a loop you could make.
What better way to test drive a tractor with no hood?
In the subdivision.
Subdivision loop.
Right.
And no, I just to be honest with you, I didn't put
it. Did you put the exhaust on?
I didn't put the exhaust
on. Okay, I thought that was covered.
Yeah.
you knew that was covered.
And so, I mean, around the subdivision I go, and it was hilly. Boy, you'd hit them hills in that little John Deere tractor, and it'd really beller, you know. And so, I don't remember. We got a letter on that, and then I bought a gun safe, and I took my tractor from the farm here up there to loader to set the gun safe off. Well, it'd sit up there for a few days on the trailer in the front yard. That's a no-no, putting, you know, even having a vehicle out overnight's a no-no in those subdivisions, but a tractor on a gooseneck, they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that kind of was the problem was we bought that old cabin over here at Nolin, and the people who had it since 1972, they were an older couple, and he had went in and gutted the basement, and then he had got sick and passed away, and then it had just sit. Well, it had, you know, 40 years or 50 years of their possessions in it.
Right.
And she didn't know what she's going to do with them. She's an elderly lady. I said, just leave it. We'll take care of it. So Lindsay and I go down there one Saturday, and we take the trailer, and we load all this garbage up. There's a huge Oak Entertainment Center. Lindsay's like, how are you going to get that out of the house? I got the Sawzall. We quartered it up. We got it out of the house.
In pieces, yeah.
So, you know, you got to think smart when you're loading garbage on a flat trailer, because it's not just going to blow off everywhere. So I put all the mattresses on top.
Uh-huh.
Strap them down.
Yeah, need weight.
Strap them down. Now, they did have some monstrosity piss stains on them. Because they were old matches, probably a lot of kids, stuff like that. Might have been a murderer in there. Who knows? I mean, just looking at them, they were pretty bad. So she said, where are you going to take this to? So I'm going to take it home. You can't take this home. I said, well, what? It's Sunday. What am I going to do with it? Well, we're going to have to find some. We're going to take this down to Mom and Dad's and park it. I said, no. We're going to park it at the house. I'm going to go to work in the morning. I'm going to get the guys started. And then I can run home, grab the truck and trailer, take it to the dump. No harm, no foul. We got home at 6:45 that night. That trailer left at 9 the next morning, and we got a nasty letter. But I parked in the front yard with all them piss-paint mattresses. I've got a picture somewhere of that house, that truck trailer sitting in front of it.
We might need that picture to share on the Facebook page.
Yeah, it was... And so my wife's like, oh, my gosh. But the second time I brought her to Sunfish, you know, she grew up in western Kentucky. And she grew up on a farm. And she, you know, like she grew pimento peppers growing up. And she's worked. She's worked hard. She's not ever had an easy life. You know, her dad's a coal miner, or was a coal miner. Her mom was worked for the post office. She's always worked. But I brought her to Sunfish. And I told her, I said, I'm going to take you down here. I said, Miss Sunfish, a different world. I said, everybody's laid back. You know, there's a lot of, you know, you may have struggled to understand a few of us. And I said, but it's kind of anything goes. And so, like, the second time I had her down here, I was up on the hill up there. And that dad had one of those old Prowler campers.
Mm-hmm.
She said, what are you going to do with that old thing?
Low Ridge. That's a famous landmark around here.
Yeah. It's the highest point in Edmondson or Grayson County.
Is it really? Is it higher than Little Mountain?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. I did not know
and
that.
And it is 12 foot taller than Pullman's Hill.
Okay.
Verified with the GPS.
I got you.
So anyhow, she said, what are you going to do with that old camper? Because Dad was a hoarder before he passed away. He saved everything. I threw most of it away. And I said, I need to haul it to the junkyard. And she said, will they take it? I said, yeah. And I said, better yet, I'll take it down the road here to the people that lived at the end of the road. They may want it for scrap. You know, they'll tear it down for the aluminum and stuff. She said, oh, okay. So we'd worked up there that day, and we were going to go get a sandwich at Roundhill. We're going down the road, and there stood the mother out on the side of the road there. She said, y'all just pull in and see if she wants it. Okay. I pulled in. She said, oh, yeah, we'd love to have it. You know, they done tore Dad's old trailer down. Me and Brandon took it down there.
Yeah, you about drug it and the tractor and all off in the holler down there coming down the curve. Yeah. Got it off the...
I don't think you're in the club if you've not moved a house trailer.
With a tractor,
with a tractor. I put one in.
Or with anything. The one we lived in for years, Dad moved with his ton truck from across Nolan Dam down to Papaw.
You moved one with a truck.
I moved one with that three-quarter ton truck from across Nolan Dam.
Yeah, we're going to get into that story later. We're saving that one for another episode.
Okay. I set one up that is still there today, being lived in with that 7400 that camper
you're
talking about. Yeah. Go ahead. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's right. So anyhow, so lady says, yeah, we'd love to have it. I said, okay, I'll bring it down sometime. So we started out of the driveway. Lindsay said, we ought to just go get that before she changes her mind. Okay. So we go up there, and this trailer has not been moved in 20 years. It is sitting down in the mud. We back up there, and I take a tractor and loader and just pick the tongue up, sit it on the ball, go take off, and the truck won't even pull it out of the mud. So I reach down, put it in four-wheel drive, and I mean, I just hard as I could go. Yank it up out of this hole. We take off down the road. Or down the gravel road there coming off the hill. And there's that
Pretty steep.
Yeah,
pretty
that steep. Bank that you... I run up on that bank, you know, sideways. And Jared Childress's was coming over to the house. His little brother bought something from him. He called. He said, hey, I'm at your house. I said, well, we'll be right there. Well, to go to the house, you had to turn left out of the driveway instead of turn right. So I make that left turn. And I look back, and that camper is fishtailing around behind me. She's going, we can't go this way. We can't. I said,
Here we are.
You just hold on. So you know those old fold-out steps?
I do.
From under the... So I got to hearing something. I looked, them steps had popped out, and the tires flat. They scooting on the ground. So Dad had put siding on that trailer. He had siding blowing off of it going down the road. We go down there and Jared's like, what in the heck are y'all doing? I said, we're going camping, man. So we turned that thing around, finally get down there and drop it off, back it up there and unhook it. I don't even put a block under it. I just take a bar and pop it up off the hitch.
Drive out.
Lindsay said, they'll be living in that by the end of the week. I said, no. You know, the door was off of it. Mm-hmm. It had no door on it. Hadn't in years. Ceiling had fell out. I swear, I come by 2 days later, there was a piece of plywood over the door, and the porch light was on under. I swear.
I believe it. I know where it's at. Where it was.
Yeah. So, well, it was a mess.
So Kyle's got something special in store for us about some of his great uncles and some of their words.
Yeah, you mentioned a while ago, you said, you told Lindsay there might be some things you don't understand. And it's something I think that's kind of maybe not unique to our community. A lot of rural communities across the country, they kind of got their own lingo about things.
Yeah, and we also use words around here differently than the rest of the world.
Right. Well, I took the liberty of writing down a few. Okay. I know you guys are the hosts. But I wanted to quiz you all. I didn't know how tough you was going to make it on me, so I was going to throw a little fire back at you.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you guys a word, and I want you to use it in a sentence, and then I'll tell you how my people use it.
Okay.
Let's start here with zinc. Zinc.
I bought some bolts at Rural King the other day that were zinc-coated.
There you go. Now, I wash my hands in the zinc. Wagner's.
I think Wagner's make headlights, don't they? Is that a brand of headlight?
Yeah, or paint sprayers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or, yeah.
Or if you're following a large piece of equipment, you need to turn your Wagner's on for safety.
I've never heard that.
Bookie.
That's who you go to make a bed, ain't it?
Bookie.
That's what I would think.
Yeah. No, like if we was carrying a couch in, couches are real bookie. Not bulky. They're bookie. Aubrey's.
I would think that might be a name of a store somewhere or something.
Mm, yeah. Close. That's where you get the roast beef.
Aubrey's.
Yeah. Not to be confused
get some
with
Aubrey sauce.
Not
too,
to be confused
there.
With Arby's. That's Aubrey's.
Gotta get some Aubrey sauce while you're there.
Hamster.
Well, that's a little pet and little runs on a little wheel.
Well, yeah, I was going to say something else, but we got to keep it G-rated.
Yeah.
That's where you throw your dirty clothes.
In the
clothes hamster. Yeah. Golloper.
Golloper?
Golloper.
Golloper.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't even know how to... I don't even
That's a cross between a brake caliper and what a horse does. I don't know.
Uncle Gene used to tell a story when he worked at Cummins. They was having a water balloon fight, and one hit a guy right in the golloper.
So you're pointing to your throat region.
I'm pointing to my golly whopper.
Golly whopper, but
as Uncle Gene used to say, it hit him right in the golloper. Said, shut his wind down, he about died. Said he saved his life, run over and popped it out.
Can you imagine if he's still kicking to interview him?
Well, we're going to see if we can get one of his sons on here. So,
Yearn.
Is that where you put the dead people?
That's what you put the dead people in. It's really urn.
Urn.
It's really urn. That's what you put the dead people in. Skid Row.
Oh, I mean, I know what Skid Row is, like out in L.A. or something. Right. But...
Well, you all know my nickname growing up as a child.
Yeah.
Skeet Rod.
Skeet Rod, yeah.
Yeah, which Uncle Gene can never remember.
So he called you
Skid Row. So he called me Skid Row for years. And then I've got a couple down here that not really mispronounced. It's just unique ways of saying something. So Uncle Gene would tell about over in Vietnam, our boys had to fight those jelly bums. And for years, I had no idea what he was talking about. He was talking about napalm is what he was talking about. But he called them jelly bums, because he said that stuff would get on their skin and stick, and bum being for bomb, you know,
jelly bum.
And then he also said the best vehicle they ever made was a Toyota Dakota. So I don't know. I don't know if he's a Dodge man or Toyota man, but the best vehicle ever made is a Toyota Dakota.
So on Uncle Gene, though, you've got to tell a little about his cooking, and well, I mean, there's lots of good.
Yeah, I don't Uncle know. Gene we might stuff. That might have to be
that's a, an episode.
That
itself.
Might be on its own. Yeah.
So I've got a word for you. You tell me what it means to you.
Okay.
Pilfer.
Pilfer. I know what pilfering is. Like if you pilfer through something.
Well, that's what I thought.
Or I think that's what
that's it is. That's not what it means.
Okay.
So
I thought it would be like rummaging.
That's exactly what I thought. That's how it is used in this area.
Yeah.
Is to rummage through something, to kind of just meander around
right,
and look.
Right.
It means to steal.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
So Lindsay and I were up in Evansville one day, and we were going to pawn shops. And we went to what we thought was a pawn shop, but it was ended up being more than a junk shop. And it's actually about 5 blocks from where I work now, which is the roughest part of town. And so we go to walk in, and there is a lady standing in the door, and got a tooth in her head. She said, "Hey, how are you?" And I said, "I'm doing good. How are you?" She said, "I'm doing great." She said, "What are y'all into today?" I said, "Oh, we're just going to go in here and pilfer around." And she looked at me like, and I mean, I could tell that I had said something that perplexed her.
Yeah.
She was like, "Well, that's not what you need to be, you know." And she said, "Well, you see that fella standing right in there at the counter?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Well, you go in there and you do that right beside him because he'll know how to handle it." And I thought, "Oh, well, that's odd." So we walk on through the door, and Lindsay said, "I can't believe you just said that to her." Now, my wife's educated.
Right.
She's got more degrees than I can even keep up with. I mean, she's got
more
a wall.
More degrees than the thermostat.
Yeah, she's got a wall in her office that she don't even hang them all on.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it wears me out. And she's smarter than me, and she reminds me a lot of it. That, she said, "I cannot believe that you just said that to her." I said, "Said what to her?" She said, "You were going to go in here and pilfer." "Well, what do you think we're going to do in here?" She said, "I don't know, but we're not going to steal." And I said, "I didn't tell her I was going to." She said, "You said you're going to pilfer around?" I said, "Yeah, but that," she said, "pilfer means to steal." "It does not."
"No, it does not."
"Well, yes, it does." And like,
she throws a Google on you.
Google pulls her up and proves me wrong, and it means to steal. Yeah. And I told her, I said, "Well, in sunfish, it means to rummage or to just meander." And she said, "Well, no." She said, "I'm just going to be honest with you." She said, "It's pretty bad that toothless lady out there knew what the hell it meant, and you didn't." She said,
"She put
God.
You on your
left. Oh, she cut me down." She cut me down, you know. But yeah, so, pilfer was another one.
So, before we wrap things up, you've wanted to do a cooter tale on every episode, and then we'll eventually move into maybe interviewing him.
Well, we got to tell about cooter first.
So
right?
Cooters are mine and your crazy cousin that we share.
It is a mutual cousin. Brandon and I are really not kin unless you go back several generations.
Are you going to finish with cooter? Let me tell you one more, because I've told a bunch on other people, but I was going to tell one more on myself before you tell your cooter
okay.
story.
Oh, the elevator.
Yeah, I want to tell you the elevator
okay,
story.
Okay, yeah, I've not even heard
good,
this one.
This is a good one. You guys
and,
will
and, put, I've, and I've got a picture to go with
yeah,
it, but I've not heard
yeah,
it.
You guys, y'all know me as good as anybody. You growed up with me, and so you know how it is in sunfish, but you also know how it is when you take the boy out of sunfish.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
we're like a fish out of water.
Yeah.
Just like what you were telling there.
Yeah.
You know, if you'd said pilfer around here, we didn't know what you meant.
Yeah.
But you say that somewhere else, and it's uh-huh. a totally different meaning. So my wife loves to go to the beach, and I am not a beach. I mean, I am clear. I don't have Bub's golden skin over there. You know, I can sunburn in a 100-watt light bulb.
You're as white as the inside of a biscuit.
I am yeah. dough white. I mean,
it's
you
not
can't,
just the last
you
night.
Can't tell yeah. where my socks end. But she loves the beach, so if we go on vacation, guess where we go?
Yeah.
We go to the beach. So we went to St. Augustine, Florida one year. We went to Legoland. The kids were old enough. They really wanted to do that. We went over to St. Augustine. She had fixed us up in a condo, which was, you know, a lot better than just a motel or hotel, something
oh,
like
yeah,
that.
I understand.
When we get there, though, it is a typical Florida mid-morning downpour.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I mean, oh, drops as big as dimes, raining. And we've got everything we own in the back of a GMC Terrain, you know, to go down there.
Uh-huh.
and the kids are asleep. Long trip where we drove over. The kids are asleep. We have stopped by the manager's desk first and get the key card for the room. We pull up there, and I said, I tell you what, just you get the kids to be waking up, get their shoes on, get some coats on, that sort of thing. I'm going to take a load of stuff up to the room, get that done, because it's going to take several trips to do this. Do you have that picture that I sent you?
I do. I'll put it on the Facebook page. I was going to
let you show Jeremy so you guys get a kind of an idea of what I'm talking about. So I've got, you know how it is with luggage. You got one over each shoulder.
You're having the struggle that every dad
has. Every dad has had. So I just want you to get a visual of this.
Okay.
So I've got this key card in my hand. It's an outside elevator. It's three stories, and we're on the third story. Right. Just rain running. Shoes are wet. Socks are wet. Get up under there. And you can see by the picture that Bub's going to post and that he just showed you, there's a big red button there for the elevator. And I push the button, and it don't work. Push the button, it don't work. I think, well, maybe this is one of them fancy places. So I get the key card out, and I'm running over the red part there trying to get it to scan. No noises, no nothing. Just my luck. The elevator's out. So... three flights of steps all the way up. Key card in the door, put the stuff in, shut the door. Three flights of steps all the way back down. Load up another load of stuff. Make it up to the second floor. And another gentleman is coming up to the elevator at the same time that I am, that you can tell is a tourist. And he is whiter than I am. Got the stereotypical suntan lotion on the nose. 6 foot. Four, just a huge guy, and when he talks, he's kind of got a Minnesota accent. And I can't do accents very well, but I'll do my best just to give the story a little bit of life here. And we meet at the elevator about the same time, and I said, man, I tell you what, that elevator's broke. I done been packing stuff up these steps. And he said, oh. He said, I come up in it a while ago. I was going to go back down in it. And I said, well, I hope you have better luck than I did, because I couldn't. And I reach over there, and I hit the red button. And I said, see, it's not working. And he said, oh, no. He said, you hit the button. So I don't know if you got that picture, but I want you to be looking at this picture when I'm telling you this. And I said, so I see this red button. I see a rivet that's holding the screen on, and then I see a key that unlocks for the fire.
Yeah.
And I said, no. I said, it's not working. I said, does your key card do this? He said, no. I said, you just hit the button. And so I'm thinking, this guy's a moron. And so I, in front of him, so he don't think I'm stupid, I'm pressing the red button where he can see me, but I'm looking at him. And he said, I said, see, it don't work. And he said, lower. And so I take my finger and I move it from the top to the bottom of the red button. And he goes, lower. And I move my finger on top of this rivet. And he says, yeah. And I push it, and that's the button.
So you was thinking he's a moron, but he really thought you was a moron.
So the door opens up and he's going down. I said, just go ahead. I was going to take him on. I just packed him the rest of the way up. But yeah, I'm holding my finger over this butt.
He's going lower.
He said, lower. Lower.
He was walking me through it.
And I guarantee you, somewhere in the United States of America, this man is telling about this guy that he met from somewhere this in the
country,
South.
This country idiot. He is on a podcast.
He's somewhere. on a podcast somewhere, maybe. So if you hear this and this is you, please try to find us.
That's funny.
So I wanted to tell that one on
me. Yeah, that's good one there.
I didn't know if you guys had ever heard that one or not.
No, that's funny. I mean,
when you get me, I feel pretty comfortable in Sunfish, but when you get me out of sight of Sunfish, my senses start going down. I get tunnel vision. I'm just like, I want to get home as quick as I can.
You know, we travel a lot, and I love it. And I've got to where I just don't care. We go somewhere, and I'm like, I'm just going to be myself.
Right.
Lindsay has pretty much adjusted to it, so, you know, it doesn't take her a lot. We were at a restaurant on a vacation, and the old boy, we were ordering fish. And I hate fish, but where we were at, fish and chips were the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was wanting fish, and I hate fish. I suffer through it about once a year. And she's like, I want fish. Well, let's go get some fish. So we go in this world-famous fish restaurant, and it's kind of like almost gas station style. It's in a case behind it. They're dumping that fish straight out of the oil right in there. And I point to the fish, which looks like Captain D's fish. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want some of that right there. He said, okay, how many of them you want? I said, I'd like to have three of them. You know, you sop enough tartar sauce on it, it'll kill that mm-hmm. fish taste. He said, you want three? And I said, yeah, I'd like to have three. And I could just see him saying, you fat American.
Like y'all were across the big pond.
Yeah, we were across the pond. And so he's like, oh, okay, you know. And we, in other countries that don't use the American dollar, it is hard for me to sit and think that's high or that's expensive. He rings me up. I don't even remember if he told me how much it was. I gave him the credit card, took the credit card, and he said, your fish will be out in a minute. So we're sitting there, and they finally call our number, and I'm telling them they had three trays worth of fish. And I'm like, what the heck?
I wanted three pieces.
That's not me, man. That's not my... Yeah, it's you're number 27. No. And I had pointed, and he had thought I was pointing beside him. And Kyle, it was slabs of fish. I don't know. It was like shark or something. I don't know.
Killer whale.
2 foot slab of fish.
Huge slabs of fish. And they had that stuff cut up in boxes with fries and hush puppies. And isn't they?
I'm going to need a to-go box for this one, guys.
Well, it was all to go. You went outside and sat on the street. I went out there. I took two bites. I couldn't do it. Lindsay's like, you're not going to throw all that fish away. You hide and watch. I cannot. You know, I'm fat, dude. I love food. I'm fixing to waste some of it here. Yeah, she. I mean, growing up here, I mean, it's a way of life.
It is.
You go out and you can try to act like you're somebody you're not, or you can just
roll be who
with
you are.
It. Hell,
right.
I just roll with
yeah.
it. So, but are you ready for a cooter story?
We're going to do a cooter tale and wrap it up because I'd say we're knocking on an hour or a little over. I don't know. I started that a little late, but. So
Cooter is mine and your mutual cousin,
good friend of Kyle's. Grew up here with us,
and just I mean, I love Cooter. I grew up with him. We're 5 months apart. I mean, he is the person I grew up with. He mm-hmm. was like a brother. But just to be fair, I share no DNA with him. Like Brandon,
you're just
does.
Getting this out
I
there.
Do. Yeah, I do. I share DNA. Plus, we're double step cousins too. On top of that, so we may have to get into that later on.
Yeah, that
you
just
might went, have to draw a picture for.
Yeah,
that.
I'd have to draw a
yeah,
picture.
We had to
that'll
draw
confuse people
on that one. But so, Cooter's mother and my dad were step siblings.
Yeah,
like I said, they were step siblings before I was born. I think I'd be more like a brother than mm-hmm. I do a cousin.
But we've got lots and lots of really good Cooter stories.
He's a mess. I mean, he's
crazy
comical.
Cooter fits him.
He is comical. He's funny. And he doesn't care.
But you've got lots. You've probably got more than any of the rest of us. I've got a few. I know Kyle's got a few. But since Kyle's kind of the guest on this episode, even though we're going to try to talk you into being a regular.
Yeah.
He's going to tell the Cooter story on this one. Then we're going to get so many episodes in, we're going to have Cooter on the podcast.
Yeah, you got a beat button there because, I mean, when you get Cooter on here, you have to have a button.
A beat button. I'll have to go back and edit it. Okay, Kyle, you get to tell
Cooter
story.
He's a living legend. That's for sure.
He's known worldwide. When this gets out there, he's known worldwide.
Absolutely.
You know, I think, I told you the other day, I think every generation has that person. Our parents' generation is hit the guy, they call him Wheatley.
Mm-hmm.
And, I told you, Cooter is the Wheatley of our generation.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. There will be stories, I'm sure, that you guys tell that people will listen to and think, now, this is like a Jerry Clower where you make it up and you just fit it to people in your community.
But you can verify they're true.
But they will be true stories. Mm-hmm, they'll be true stories. So I was watching Larry the Cable Guy. I think I sent it to you. There was a little excerpt about Larry the Cable Guy telling about a buddy of his that got engaged at Ponderosa. Do you remember me sending that to you?
Yeah. I was wondering which one you were going to tell. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah.
And I sent that to Donkey, and I'm like, Cooter should get royalties off this. I bet you Larry the Cable Guy doesn't really have a friend that done this.
Yeah.
And we do. So I'm going to tell this one on Cooter. It's maybe not the best one I've got, but I think it's the one that I can tell for this podcast anyway. And we'll leave some of the names off to protect the innocent. But anyway, so my junior year, I quit riding the bus and start riding to school with Cooter. He's got that little gray S10 that Big Charlie gave him. and it didn't last very long. Mm-hmm. Cooter's been through several vehicles.
Yeah.
A short time after that, he got that old 70 Chevrolet that you were talking about.
Yeah.
And the reason it went down, he had the great idea, was using so much oil to put 80-90 in it.
In the motor.
In the motor.
Motor, yeah.
Yeah. Which, needless to say,
Tinker's
better. Right? Well, it didn't leak. It didn't use it. I'll give him that. But anyway, so he exhausts all of his options. And so by this time, I've got my license. And so now I'm the chauffeur.
Mm-hmm. He's driving.
I'm the driver. So, yeah, I drive us to school. A lot of times it's me and him, Joe.
And the girl he's dating.
And the girl he's dating at the time. And we're, you know, going back and forth to school. If we need to run to Litchfield for something or go to Walmart or...
So hold on. At this point, is she pregnant?
She is pregnant.
At this point, she's pregnant. Yep. Okay. Uh-huh.
And so he calls me one night and says, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I said, "Not much. What are you into?"
Which was standard for Cooter.
Right.
I'll say, "What are you doing?"
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. "You want to go to Litchfield, get something to eat?" I said, "Sure." So come pick me up. So I go down, I pick him up. We're coming down the road. He said, "Let's stop and pick my girlfriend up." I'm like, "Really? You know, I thought we just maybe..." "Yeah, let's stop and pick her up." Okay. So pick her up. We're going to the...
At this point, you're just the third man driving.
I'm clueless in this. I'm just driving. And what was so funny, Cooter, when we would ride, he would always sit in the middle. She's sitting by the window. And so if you see us coming down the road, it was me driving, Cooter in the middle.
That. Yeah. I forgot about that.
He always sit in the middle.
He's scared dead.
Maybe a little jealous. I don't know. But anyway, so we're going to Litchfield. Me driving, Cooter in the middle. She's in the passenger seat. And so we're going up through there, and Litchfield, that's probably the closest, biggest city to us. Bowling Green, Kentucky is a little farther away. It's third biggest city in our state.
Litchfield's where you went if you need to go to the Walmart.
And they had...
Or wanted a little selection on restaurants.
Yeah, they had McDonald's, Hardee's, mm-hmm. things like fast food you would always stop up there and get. They had a Mexican restaurant and whatnot.
Yeah.
But we're going up through there, down the strip, as I would call it. And I'm like, "You know, where you guys want to eat? You want McDonald's or Hardee's or this or whatever?" He said, "Let's go to Ponderosa."
No, it was Golden Corral, wasn't it?
I think it was Ponderosa.
That was Golden Corral.
Golden Corral. Let's go to Golden Corral. Yeah, let's go to Golden Corral. Yeah. Let's go to Golden Corral. Let's go to Golden Corral. That's what Ponderosa was, Larry the Cable Guy's story.
Yeah.
Let's go to Golden Corral. Which, to a couple of teenage guys, you just didn't go to Golden Corral.
Right.
You know, that's where your mom and dad took you if it was your birthday or something like that.
It's a big deal to get to go back.
That's a big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal. And I'm like, "Golden Corral? You want to go to Golden Corral?" He's like, "Yeah. Are you sure? Don't you want to get..." He's like, "Yes, I'm sure." And I'm like, "Well, okay."
Very stern.
Very stern. Yeah, very stern. So we pull in the parking lot there, and we go in, and there's a hostess there that would seat you. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. Big salad bar. And so she goes up to the salad bar, and we're sitting across each other from the booth. He reaches in his pocket, brings out a little box, flips it open, says, "What do you think about that?" I said, "What is that?" He said, "I'm going to ask her to marry me tonight." I said, "No, you're not. Not with me here, you're not." He said, "Yes, I am too. Why do you think we come to Gold Crow?" I said, "I have no idea. But if this is your plan, it's a bad plan. We are not going to do this tonight." He's like, yeah, I am too. And I said, "No, please don't." I mean, I've resorted to begging now. I'm like, "Please don't do this." Well, by this time, she's got her salad. She's back in the booth. So he puts it up. And so I go and get me a salad. I'm thinking, well, if this is going to happen, at least it can happen when I'm not around. Oh, no.
No, he's going to wait till you're
there. No, we got to have, you know, Cooter likes an audience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He likes an audience. So I get sit back down, and the conversation is very tense, to say the least. And finally, he breaks it open and shows it to her and says, "Well, what do you think?" And she's like, "Was that what I think it is?" And then they're talking code words, and I'm sitting over there with my Thousand Island,
my cucumbers.
I got my head down. I don't even really like salad that much. I'm just trying to give them time. And so he finally says, "Yeah, I thought, you know, let's get married." And she's like, "Okay."
And at the Golden Corral.
At the Golden Corral.
That's hilarious.
And then I'm like, "All right, so I'll take the pork chops or something again, you know." And then we come home.
That's hilarious. You know, you sent that to me. I forgot you sent that to me. And I ran into her at church.
Well, you hadn't ever heard it at that time, which surprised me that I hadn't even talked
I had either forgot it or just hadn't heard that story. Well, I was at church one Sunday down here, and after Mass, she sat with Alicia up here. There's a couple rows in front of us. She come out, and I said, "Hey, I was having a big laugh about you the other day." She said, "What about?" I told her. She said, "I will kill you right here in this church if you ever mention that to anybody again."
Well, we protected the name.
Yeah, so. We protected the innocent on that one.
Maybe so protected you a little
that's
bit.
That's my cooter story. Okay. I have more, but...
Well, we're going to have to close this one out. We've run longer than we was aimed to, but...
thanks for having me, guys.
You're coming back. You're coming back. You're going to be a regular. We're going to have you in here with some guests. You've got to come if we can get Cole in on here. You may have to talk him into it. If you've made it this far, thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with us. And we've just scratched the surface with Kyle on some stories. I had a lot more stuff jotted down here, but we'll have to get it on another episode. And I know Jeremy's got lots, and I've got some stories. So we appreciate y'all listening.
42284.
42284 out.